Why do some people run toward danger while others run away? That question haunted Pete Hegseth as he watched ISIS overrun cities in Iraq, where American blood had soaked the ground. The warriors he'd served alongside hadn't fought for nothing, yet their sacrifices seemed forgotten in political debates and news cycles. This frustration sparked a mission: to capture the unfiltered voices of America's post-9/11 warriors before their stories faded into history. What emerged wasn't a collection of sanitized hero tales, but raw accounts of courage, sacrifice, doubt, and resilience. These warriors didn't see themselves as extraordinary. They simply answered when their country called, then dealt with the consequences. Their stories reveal an uncomfortable truth. The distance between those who protect freedom and those who enjoy it grows wider each year, creating a dangerous gap in understanding what service truly costs. John Wayne Walding's leg hung by a thread during the 2008 Battle of Shock Valley. A sniper's bullet had nearly severed it. Instead of succumbing to shock, Walding folded his mangled limb like a bird's wing into his crotch, applied a tourniquet, and kept fighting, calling in air support and protecting wounded teammates. Joey Jones watched one teammate killed and another lose his legs in a single night. 2 weeks later, an IED took both his legs. His first thought wasn't, "Why me?" but, "I've gained a second chance at life." That perspective shift, from loss to opportunity, defines how warriors process trauma. Chad Fleming refused to accept that losing his leg ended his service. 23 surgeries later, he deployed 5 more times as an amputee. When his son claimed he couldn't climb a muddy hill, Fleming replied, "If I can do it with one good leg, you can too." The boy immediately succeeded. These warriors learned that nothing worth having comes easily. Their bodies were broken, but their sense of purpose remained intact. They refused to be defined by what they'd lost. Eric Guresi commanded Combat Outpost Blackfoot in Baghdad's deadliest sector. When ordered to investigate a potential vehicle bomb, his instincts screamed trap. He insisted on proper planning despite command pressure. Hours later, coordinated attacks from 3 directions proved him right. His preparation saved lives. This warrior's code extends to moral choices in the darkest moments. Matt Best promised his mentor, Sergeant Dale Brehm, he'd get him home to his family. When Brehm was killed during a house raid, Best dragged his bleeding body from the building. The experience transformed his leadership. He became the first through every door, telling his men, "If I die, your job is to live." Scott Mann's Green Beret team replaced an entire infantry battalion with untested Afghan soldiers in Uruzgan province. Their success came through human connection, learning language, respecting customs, demonstrating reliability. As Mann explains, special forces are relationship-based connectors who happen to be lethal when necessary. The warrior's code creates bonds transcending every difference. In combat, Best emphasizes, there are no Republicans or Democrats, whites or blacks, only brothers. True warriors are measured by how they conduct themselves when surrounded by chaos, maintaining honor and humanity when it would be easiest to abandon both. Jocko Willink had conquered his fear of death through training, but the dread of losing his men crushed him daily. When SEAL Mark Lee became the first SEAL paled in Iraq, Willink improvised the response: give the team time to mourn, hold a memorial, then return to the mission. Standing beside Mark's coffin as hundreds lined the route for his angel flight became his most humbling moment, witnessing a brotherhood willing to make the same sacrifice. Nick, the Reaper, led differently. Despite 33 confirmed kills as a sniper, he maintained informal relationships with his spotters, preferring Irv over Sergeant. He valued open feedback and humility, viewing his spotters as equal leaders regardless of rank, an approach that built trust crucial for split-second decisions. David Bellavia pushed relentlessly, taking his soldiers weekends and nights, believing they needed to earn freedom. He opposed comforts like fast food on bases, wanting his men pissed off, agitated, and focused. These diverse styles share common ground, mission and team above self. As Willink learned, leadership is service, not privilege. Authority is earned through example, not demanded through rank.
Jeremiah Workman earned the Navy Cross for heroism in Fallujah, but carried home invisible wounds heavier than any medal. The faces of three Marines killed under his command haunted him, especially families who had asked him to take care of my son. Years of therapy helped him accept that people die in combat, and no decision could have saved them, though he still runs scenarios through his mind daily. Morgan Luttrell's injuries were both visible and hidden. A helicopter crash broke his back and caused traumatic brain injury. While physical injuries received excellent treatment, his cognitive issues, incomplete sentences, absent-mindedness, trouble focusing, required him to assemble his own team of specialists. Unlike broken bones, brain injuries demand patient rehabilitation. Scott Mann's transition from Special Forces revealed another dimension of psychological injury. After 23 years, Mann struggled with PTSD and suicidal thoughts. "I didn't realize how purpose-driven I was in Special Forces. It was all I knew." Writing and performing his play, Last Out, Elegy of a Green Beret, became therapeutic, feeling like going on a mission every time I step on stage. Caroline Johnson describes moral injury, damage to core beliefs when experiencing events that challenge one's sense of right and wrong. Despite 9 years training to protect life, she was initially prevented from intervening against ISIS atrocities because rules of engagement only permitted defending American citizens and coalition troops. Being forced to witness evil without acting violated everything she'd trained for. Nick Irving reveals the psychological challenge specific to snipers. Calculated observation creates disturbing intimacy with targets. What haunted him most were his victims' eyes, always remaining open in death. To cope, Irving created psychological separation between his combat persona, the Reaper, and his civilian identity. These warriors emphasize that while PTSD can't be cured, it can be managed through proper support and finding new purpose. As Workman urges struggling veterans, by helping yourself, you're helping them, meaning family.
Matt Best's transition was jarring. From leading Rangers to sitting among college students whose biggest challenge was homework. After hitting bottom through self-medication, a Ranger buddy's wake-up call prompted him to rebuild through content creation, showing operators as fully human, not just warriors. Joey Jones frames the challenge as an identity question. Veterans struggle when they make military service their entire identity, rather than one chapter in life's book. Success requires recognizing opportunities that look a lot like work and focusing on immediate tasks rather than distant goals. Dan Crenshaw, who lost his right eye to an IED before becoming a congressman, approaches transition through duty. Living with duty means continuing your mission for those who can't complete theirs. He refuses victimhood, noting his fallen teammates, whose initials are tattooed on his chest, don't get to complain because they're dead. He applied his SEAL problem-solving mindset to politics, running his congressional campaign like a military operation. Scott Mann founded the Hero's Journey to help the 200,000 veterans who leave service annually. Through storytelling workshops, veterans process experiences and reconnect with civilians. Sometimes healing means telling your own story. Sometimes it means listening to others tell theirs. Successful transition requires finding new purpose while honoring military experiences without being defined by them.
Dan Crenshaw's transition from Navy SEAL to congressman demonstrates how military service transforms rather than ends. He applies his operations mindset to governance, approaching policy battles strategically. His Colombian upbringing during Civil War shaped his immigration views. Newcomers should integrate while maintaining heritage pride. Morgan Luttrell's severe injuries drove him to neuroscience. Frustrated by limited TBI understanding, he earned advanced degrees and became a research scientist. He believes veterans must lead in solving veteran issues, PTSD, TBIs, and suicide, confident they can tackle these challenges with the same success rate they achieved in military operations.
Sean Parnell, who led the legendary Outlaw Platoon in Afghanistan, continues serving through advocacy and writing. Initially reluctant to share combat experiences, he discovered writing Outlaw Platoon was deeply healing. He realized veterans often shut down to protect loved ones, creating a gap between those who enjoy freedom and those who protect it. These warriors prove service transforms after discharge. They apply combat-forged values to civilian challenges through politics, entrepreneurship, and advocacy. Their message, the warrior spirit isn't confined to battlefields. It lives in anyone willing to serve something greater, to stand when others sit, to speak when others stay silent.